Let's take our Bibles on this Sunday evening, and I want us to go to the Gospel of Matthew. I want to go to chapter 2, and I want to read verses 8, 9, and 10 out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2. I want to talk to you tonight on the subject of a bright star in a dark world. I want to take the passage here, very brief is the text I want to use, regarding that star that shone so brightly that night in a world of darkness. And we're going to see the darkness in the text, and we're going to see the star in the text. And may the Lord help me to deliver from my soul the reality that the star tonight is still shining, and the darkness is still present. We still have the darkness of the text, which we will find in just a moment will be Herod. And we still have the brightness of that star. Did you ever hear the statement made at Easter time by a pastor, yours or another one, that the stone at the tomb was just a pebble compared to the Rock of Ages that was on the inside? Well, the star that was so bright on this night that we read about in the text was a faint glimmer compared to the light of the world that the shepherds were being led to, or the wise men were being led to. And so let me just read the text and talk to us for just a moment about the reality of what is in these brief verses. Beginning in verse 8 of Matthew chapter 2. Verse 8 says, "And he sent them," speaking of Herod, "he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also.'" Now I'm going to pause there in the reading to say that I know that on a Sunday evening, about every person in the building knows this. But for fear we have a child that's not studied Scripture very much, let me just say to you, that statement is a very dishonest statement on the part of Herod. He had no intentions of going to worship Jesus. He wanted to kill Jesus. He was an evil man. Verse 9. "When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy." And the text goes on to say that they finally came into the house and saw the young child with Mary, his mother. I speak to you regarding the bright star shining in a dark world. The most brilliant star that's ever shone on planet Earth is the person of Jesus Christ. He later tells us in the Word of God that he is the light of the world. And the world is in darkness, and the darkness comprehended him not. And when Jesus came as any light in any darkness, light dispels darkness, Jesus came to dispel and to expose the deeds of mankind, and Herod is as fine a representative of the darkness of the deeds of men as could be found anywhere, for he was indeed an evil man. He would have been a dishonest man, as he is in this text. And in this darkened world that this night is still under the domain of darkness, for which Lucifer is still the god of this world, Jesus Christ is still the light that dispels the darkness and exposes the deeds of darkness, that shines light upon the pathway of the redeemed to teach us reality. You know, life is filled with smoke and mirrors, and the devil and the spirit of the Antichrist has one system of values, and it is set directly in opposition to that which the Word of God establishes. And so there are two great philosophies, good and evil. Only two forces in all the world. Only two forces ever mentioned in the Bible, good and evil. And men love darkness rather than light. And men of their own natural volition do not seek the light. Light, thankfully, in the person of Christ, seeks men. And aren't we glad that the God of all grace and glory, who is the God of light, seeks men of darkness, exposes their hearts for what is true, and reveals to the darkened hearts the reality of the brilliance of Christ, and transformed in redeeming power, in regenerative power, hearts from cold, dark deadness into life everlasting, eternal, and brilliant. Truly, a transformation takes place every time a heart, be it young or old, is changed and transformed by the power of the gospel. Now tonight, as we look and think of the darkness that is still among us, and as we think of He who is the light of the world that's among us, we must remember that we are living in a world of darkness, and we must remember there's only one reality that we must hang on to walk through the world of darkness, and it is He who is light. And if we don't get that, we're going to get confused along the way, and we're going to make lots of mistakes along the way. We're going to be deceived along the way. And tonight, as I think of what is contained in this passage, it really is philosophically some of the stuff regarding what God's people must remember to walk through any age, any time period, any sets of difficulties that might come our way. I almost wanted to take the text and say that this message could be subtitled "Keeping Focus During COVID." Now, why would I make such a statement? Well, in a year where everything is different, in a year where nobody seems to know a whole lot of anything, we're all trying to, in these days, approaching Christmas season, we're trying to decide as a people, what are we going to do in our families, in our extended family, in our church family? If you're involved in a work vocation and you have a place of employment, what are we going to do there? And the reason that is made difficult is that we've got to decide what are we going to do with Christmas activities with this guest named coronavirus on the list this year. How are we going to function? Did you ever have to attend or feel like you needed to attend a family reunion or some other gathering and a certain person was there, and in your mind it would just be a much better gathering if he or she was not there? Folks, Christmas would be a nicer gathering if coronavirus was not present. But the truth of it is, in a fallen world, corruption entered the picture when sin entered the picture. Adam and Eve had never had a virus, had never been sick, and upon sin coming into the picture, everything began to deteriorate and die. We have right now a progressively degenerating gene pool that is undeniable even in biology. And so with every aspect of life touched, man was cursed, woman was cursed, the earth was cursed. Jesus Christ is the one that removes the curse. And we learn as people who have been redeemed with the curse of sin removed, how do we finish our journey in a world that is still under the curse of sin and it has not been completely removed yet? Here's what I want to do. I want to take this text and I want to make three divisions. I first want to talk to you about, in this darkened world with the light of Christ, what are the problems we face? And what are some of the particular problems we face this year with this Christmas being so different than any other Christmas we've ever faced? Well, let me just give to you some things I hope will encourage your heart when I have finished the message tonight. Number one, or first of all, we're kind of dealing with a moving target. What was true a week ago, a month ago with a pandemic is not necessarily true today. We've seen numbers go up and we've seen numbers go down. And at least in the world that Beth and I live in, of people that we know among our acquaintances, it appears there's been a spike in people who have the coronavirus. Now, thank God we don't seemingly know that to be true here in the church as of tonight. I only know of one who is now coming out of it, and we prayed for her this morning. But thank God we've been protected here. And I'm so thankful for what everybody does around here all the time. You've sought to make it Christmas, and I'll just say this. Thank God for those who decorated our church building for us and made it look so Christmassy as we keep our minds and hearts focused on where we're living right now. But in terms of what we're going to do, we face the difficulty of wondering what can we do next, because those from the very wisest and smartest of medical people down to those on the street that wouldn't know a thermostat from a thermometer all have opinions. And so nobody knows what tomorrow brings. The target is ever moving. But let me tell you what is not moving. The reality of who Christ is not variable. It's not in a state of transition. He is still the Son of God. He can still be trusted. We can still call on Him, and He will be sufficient for us in times like unto which we've never called on Him before. I would suggest to you another problem we face is that all of us at times suffer with an omniscience complex, and we know not only what's best, we know, we think at times, and I'm being sarcastic when I say this, what's better for somebody else. Here's the bottom line. Some things at my age and my health that I consider not a risk, others would consider a risk. What some others consider to be a risk, we don't always agree on what is a risk, and we've got to let every person decide where they are, their quality of health or lack thereof. And so we just have to understand that we all don't see the current status of public health the same way. But the one thing we better see the same is that Jesus will ever abide with us and be sufficient for us. And if we have not enough Christianity to walk with each other through a pandemic, that is a sad commentary on who we are as God's people. You're welcome. You're welcome. That's a good place for an amen. Another thing I would say is this. Some family members think their family traditions are too crowded. Many times in our homes, we get together with extended family. We're shoulder to shoulder. We talk in each other's face. And we've got people in our families that's not comfortable with that. Then we've got others in our family who are very much bothered if the tradition does not go on. Can I tell you, folks, there's coming a day in my family and yours that there's not going to be one remaining tradition, because some of us who are part of it is not going to be here at all. So may I just suggest to us that everything in life is in a state of change. And the one thing you're guaranteed of, if life continues, you're guaranteed of change. Nothing stays the same in terms of life. And so those are just some of the problems we face. And we must deal with our disappointments. Wouldn't it be good if we could be together? Wouldn't it be good if there were no illnesses? Wouldn't it be good if traditions could all be maintained? But they cannot be, and we don't need to be having nervous breakdowns over it. Amen. So those are just some of the problems we face. You say, well, Pastor, what's that got to do with a biblical text? We must remember that in a darkened world, we face problems, and we do have a light to guide us. And it's not what your pastor believes to be just on that night. I think that was the part of the Shekinah glory of God, a supernatural presence of light. I don't know for sure. I don't know of anyone that does. I hear people say it was the alignment of one or more planets, or it was a comet. I've read all those things. Here's what I do know. The light that guides us tonight is not a planet. He's the one that made all the planets, and He can be trusted. You agree with that? Those are some of the problems we face. I want to talk to you secondly about the priorities that we seek. Now, there ought to be some priorities that we agree on, okay? I'm just going to mention two. Are you listening? People need connection with one another. Now, the one thing, listen carefully, the one thing you can't do is live forever in isolation. God made us to interact. We are, by creation, social creatures. We like to touch and talk and hug and communicate with each other. The Lord had a reason that when He took the writer of the book of Hebrews and said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, there's a reason for that. We need each other. Now, when I have to be out, I can join you by live stream, and I praise God for it. But did you know you can't join me? I can be a part of the service you're in on, but you can't be a part of my living room. I don't get from an online, from a CD, from a DVD, I don't get what I get with you. We're all grateful to God. I often think how distant I would be from my church family if I couldn't at least come to you by way of online ministry. I get to share the prayer request with you on Wednesdays. I want you to know this is what we're being told in the church office about our family, and we are praying for these needs, and we invite you to do so. And by the way, I don't understand about this anymore than anybody else, but you have never heard your pastor say a negative word about what anybody else decides, and you're not going to. In fact, the one thing, if you could hear anything from your pastor, now nor any other season, don't you ever come to church sick. The rest of us love you, but we don't want what you got. And that was prior to coronavirus. We've had here for 20 years an infectious disease policy that states in part, if you have a fever, we love you and we'll pray for you, but you're not welcome with a fever. Go home and tell us to pray for you, and we will do that. Because we have that stewardship with each other. We don't want others to share and be sick like we are sick. But as we think about our priorities, we must remember we need connection. And I've thought so many times, man, I wished I had some of you in the youth building or in the foyer of this church. And even if we're distant, set apart from each other, and let's just visit a while in a bigger room, outdoors if the weather is permitting, just to be able to talk and be together. Some of you are comfortable to do that. Even now, others would not want to do that, and that is perfectly fine. But the reality of it is we still all need connection with one another. I feel especially pained by those who are sick, who really can't get out, and sometimes because of their extended illness, it's almost like if we did not give them a phone call, a text message, a card, or something, we have kind of put them off in another place. Now, we didn't mean to, and it's not we've done anything intentionally. We're trying to honor the distance they need, but we don't want anybody to think because their illness has made them distant that they are distant from our hearts. They're ever in our hearts, and we pray for each other. So as we think of the priorities we seek, we need connection with each other, but folks, we also need connection with Jesus. Now, what I mean by that, you say, Pastor, when the Holy Spirit comes in, he never leaves. Yeah, but look at me and listen to me. Sometimes when people lose connection with God's people, they lose connection with God. They lose the fellowship that they could afford. Do you know what those who study this on a trained, disciplined, professional basis tell us? That the coronavirus, among other things, will bring divorces in homes that would not have been because we no longer fellowship with God's people and we no longer stay together as we once did, encouraging each other so much the more, says the writer of Hebrews, as we see the day approaching. And we lose, if we don't give the more earnest heed to the things we've heard, sometimes we all have let them slip. And we must stay connected to Jesus. And as we pray for each other, we want to pray that the hearts of those who cannot be with us because of illness will be people who will feel, sense, and know the presence of the Holy Spirit and make ourselves available to the Lord to say, Lord, anything I can do to be your representative in his or her life, I want to be an encouragement to them. I hear about visits that you are making and things you are taking to the doors of people and ways you are still ministering, and it's a million thank yous for that. That's what we are supposed to do. Believers need to worship together. We need to pray together. We need to laugh together, and we need to cry together. People that don't know the Lord need to learn from us how they can find a relationship with the Lord that has the dynamism of what they see in us. And sometimes in the midst of these challenges, for we who are God's people, there's lots of complaints. And I don't know this to be true of any of you, but we can complain about, boy, things are sure not good politically. Boy, wasn't that election messed up? Boy, wasn't this going on? Boy, those people are sick. This one didn't have a good experience with his doctors. This one didn't have a good experience at the hospital. This one didn't have... Folks, if you aren't careful, you'll spend your life talking about things that are less than perfect rather than speaking of the one who is perfect. And in the midst of all of the imperfections in a dark, evil world that's filled with people like Herod, there is the light of the world, Jesus, to still show us what is right, to remind us by the ministry of the Holy Spirit of what is right, and to give us enabling grace to speak the words of kindness, the words of redemption, the words that are constructive rather than destructive, to help others along the way, because we are indeed people who hopefully have been touched by the bright star that was sent to this old dark world. So we think of the problems we face. We think of the priorities we seek. Now, can I speak to us about some principles to guide us? I hope we can be guided by certain principles. Let me give you several of these. This is a time. Are we listening now? This is a time to lead and not languish. Did you ever hear the old expression, don't worry about the mule, load the wagon? Folks, this is a time not to worry about what all might not be right and to languish. This is a time to lead. The greatest sermon Brother Wayne can preach is not from this pulpit, but by speaking to others who may be discouraged, who are going through difficulty, who might need a word of encouragement about what they can and can't do. For instance, when we discussed weeks ago, you know, we had gone without church at all except online. And we talked about, well, what are we going to do? We've got, and I hear preachers, this has become humorous among preachers. Boy, we got our crowd, says one pastor, and they are going to die and in the casket have a mask on. They believe in masks. And we got the other group, says the pastors, that if you put a mask on them, they're going to die instantly. They hate a mask. And we discussed as your elders, well, what are we going to do? And so I said, well, how about the prospects? Let's just have a mask service and let's just have a one that's required and one that's not required. And they all looked at me and said, we hate to do that. And I said, well, what's wrong with that? They said, well, it's more work for you. I said, who cares? I said, the greatest problem we have is not more work. The greatest problem we have is when we can't be together. And we need to try to provide a venue where those who want to come to the house of God can come to the house of God. So this is a time to lead and not languish. You agree with that? Number two. Second thing here. Adjust church events to reach the most number of people possible. Some of you may be thinking about your Sunday school class. What are we going to do? I don't know. I have no suggestions. Just look what you got to work with and see what you might be able to do. Improvise. And just whatever you think you can do, do it. You say, well, what are we going to do if all can't participate? Folks, I've been pastoring congregations a long time. I've never done anything where 100% could participate. Never. Never been a revival where there's 100% participation. Never been a prayer meeting where there's one. Never been an offering taken. But we want to try to have what we have where the largest possible number of people might be participants and be ministered to. So adjust your activities. Next thing, admit that some events need to be adjusted and or canceled. It would come as no surprise. Brother Wayne likes Sunday morning church, Sunday night church, Wednesday night church. I like Easter productions. I like wild game dinners. I like things that I've known through the years. I like Bible conferences. I like it all. Whatever happens when the people of God get together in the name of God, around the Word of God, and sing praises to God, write me down as the top of the list. I love it. I don't have to be doing the preaching to love it either. I just love it. But I've got to understand that some, because of current conditions, some events will have to be adjusted and or canceled. And by the way, church family, if there's something we're not doing we might be able to do or do more effectively, let one of the elders or your pastor know about it. Next thing I would say is expect, even during this time of holidays, to attract some visitors. There will be some people who will want to drop in on some church and be a part of some type of Christmas message or Christmas emphasis. It's kind of hard to have a whole lot of Christmas emphasis. We don't feel like right yet it's been the time to have a full choir where we could do a musical presentation. Boy, that's sure odd. But hey, Jesus is still here. Tonight, I don't know about you, but I was singing Christmas songs to His glory, wasn't you? And so we can do what we can do and expect to attract some. Don't be hesitant if you're out in the places of retail and market to invite people. Hey, are you going to church anywhere now? Do y'all get out? That might be a funny question to ask. Yeah, standing in Walmart asking that question. And let me tell you, and this is not a criticism, y'all. There are people who will tell you, I haven't come back, and I'm not necessarily talking about Morningside. It's probably true about Morningside. We hadn't gone back to church yet, but we go see about the grandchildren. We go to the ball games. We've been seen on Facebook, on vacations. We do this, we do that, but we just hadn't been back to church. Now, folks, what you refer to that as, there has come to be a disconnection. And that's not criticism. And I want those in this room and listening to me by live stream, let me say that again. That's not criticism, that's just reality. Now, look, our response cannot be one of criticism. Our response has to be one of forbearance and say, well, whenever you think you can, man, put on a mask and come to the mass service and be a part of it. We have people that don't come back on Sunday night because they come to the mask-only service on Sunday morning. But I'm not making fun of this. I find it to be a little humorous. We have people that come on Sunday morning where you don't require a mask, and they don't come back on Sunday night. Now, they may have other health issues. And some of the conclusions people come to, I don't understand that. You don't understand that. But, hey, folks, did you know it's not required that Brother Wayne understands the logic or lack thereof of what other people do? I need to try to have consistency in my life, set a good example. Remember I said don't languish but lead. Show by example. So just expect to attract some holiday visitors and let us do our best to invite them to hear the gospel. Well, this is the time also to reclaim these disconnected church people. Let them know, hey, I don't know if anybody's told you lately or not, but boy, we've missed you like you can't imagine. And in all of our churches, here's what we're reading in all the publications. We've all, in all of our churches, got some people, because most of you churches, like us, shut down mid-March. And did you know we've all got church members we hadn't seen since mid-March? That's everywhere. That's not just Valdosta. That's everywhere. Well, folks, they're our brothers and sisters. They're part of this fellowship. And we want to pray for them, and we want to try to reconnect with them. And you say, well, what's that going to take? I don't know, but if you know them very well, why don't you find out and you become a committee of one that feels like part of God's call on you is to reach out to them and let them know how much they're missed. Another one, recognize that in the midst of all this that there are people among us and not coming back with us right now who are very much hurting. And folks, sometimes when you hurt, you just kind of want to turn in and not do anything. And I mean they're hurting from within with personal issues. I don't know how you are physically, but if you let me get very sick, I want to go get in my bed in my room, shut the door, and leave me alone. If I need you, I'll call you. Just let me lay there like an old sick dog until I need something. And sometimes people who hurt emotionally and spiritually just kind of want to turn in. And folks, too much isolation for any of us is not a good thing. Can I say that one more time? Too much isolation is not a good thing. The last thing I want to mention is that above all, we better keep our focus on He who is the bright light, the star. Now, He's not, again, a physical star shining in the upper atmosphere. He is the very star and gem of glory. And He is the light of the world. And whatever the needs are that exist, there is one whose light can shine that will absolutely bring reality into focus. And that one is Jesus. And we do not want to spend, we don't know how much longer in where we are, but we don't want to spend it talking about, well, I don't understand this and I don't understand that. And we've all got opinions about the vaccines that's being talked about. And I've already heard people saying, I can't wait to get one. And I've already heard people say, you couldn't pay me to take one. Now, folks, let's don't offend people over what is ultimately going to be a passing thing. Let's be sure that we keep the focus on Jesus. We've got a whole lot more that binds us together than we do that divides us. And the one commodity that binds us together is the reality that we live in a dark world and we need some light to put some truth in our pathway. And Jesus is that bright star in this dark world. I want Him to shine brightly, don't you? And I want Him to shine brightly in me. Now, He doesn't always shine as brightly in me as He desires to. Did I just say that out loud? Or did I hear anybody else grunt when I said that? But He's available. And He will be faithful to us. And He has been faithful to us. And in the midst of whatever else may come and go, Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Aren't you glad of that? Let's pray together. Our Father, we confess that the uncertainties of life places various challenges upon our expressed faith and sometimes even upon our practiced faith. We, Lord, are prone to question why. We are sometimes prone to blame politicians for that which may have happened just out of Your own providential purpose. Lord, we've not seen anything in our lifetime that we thought negatively affected the community any more than a coronavirus. But it could just be, O God, that in Your providential purpose You let this occur in order that my faith and our faith could be challenged and that we could become even more authentic and that we wouldn't just say that we believe You, we truly have been put in a position to trust You. Tonight I want to pray for any and all among our fellowship who are sick. I pray for their healing. I pray for others on the scale of chronological age, knowing that we're told in medical science that the older the person, more than likely, the weaker is their immune system. And I pray that You will bless them with increased health and strength. I pray, O God, as much as we need that in our bodies, we all, starting with me, need that in our soul and spirit. Would You, Lord, give us a fresh wind of the Holy Spirit? And may we remember that You are the God who fashioned us in our mother's womb. There's never been a moment since that first minute and second of conception when the Spirit of God did not attend our presence. And there will never be another moment in eternity to come where we are void of You and what You can do. I pray You will bless my church family. I thank You for them. I love every one of them and ask that Your blessings abide on them in rich, wonderful, and unusual ways. Lord, help me as a pastor to keep my focus on the One who is the light, remembering that every day I walk in a dark world and I do not want to get to the place that I seemingly show forth more the traits of darkness than I do the traits of He who is the light of the world. I pray during these days of Christmas celebration and the ushering in of a new calendar year that I might be sensitive to people around me who are searchers, seeking answers, frustrated with life, wondering how do we people who call ourselves Christians put our faith in a God who would do such a thing. Help us to know that You are doing something, and You are doing something in response to what man did long ago in the garden to have sinned against You. You purposed to send forth Your Son so that the ultimate virus, not known as COVID, but the ultimate virus known as sin, might have the divine cure of the Son of God Himself. Bless, I pray, these people. Bless them this night and bless them in the coming nights. And give to them the health of body, soul, and spirit that they need to be their very best for You. Grow us in the grace and knowledge of Your sweet Son. It is in His name that we make these our prayers. Amen. I invite you to stand with your pastor. The altar is open.